going to look at our Bibles in Hebrews, the third chapter. I'm going to read one verse out of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. Hebrews 3, verse number 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. My message tonight deals with the subject, the deceitfulness of sin. Sin so alters an individual's thinking that they do not realize when they are deceived. You just stop to think about it. This is real. The deceitfulness of sin is real. So we begin this study. This phrase, deceitfulness of sin, only occurs one time in the Bible, but its effects pervade virtually from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, all the way through. And all we got to do is look around. Most people are not saved. Most people are lost. I believe it's because of the deceitfulness of sin. And when you see someone backslide, an individual that once was saved, and you see them backslide, no doubt, many times, if not all the time, it's because of the deceitfulness of sin. We already found out in this revival, of course we knew before this revival, that anyone can be deceived. I can be affected because of the deceitfulness of sin. And you, my friend, no matter how long you've been saved, it can affect you. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, shall deceive the very elect. We found out that those words, "it were," is in italics in your Bible, letting us know that it is possible that even the elect could be deceived. Friend to God's people, this is a very important matter. Amen. Whether you're lost in sin, whether you're just backslid, or whether you're a child of God, friend, this is very important. For in the deceit of sin lies our main danger. The writer of Hebrews, listen, he was really talking to Christians. In plain terms, a person who is deceived by definition does not even know that they're deceived. I have never met an individual yet that said, "I think I'm deceived." Because when a person's deceived, they don't think they're deceived. And this is the deadly effect of the deceitfulness of sin. Each of us, yes, friend, each of us has the potential to fall right into the deceitfulness of sin. So I'd like for us, just for a few moments here tonight, to pay close attention as we try to unpack Hebrews, the third chapter, verse number 13. So we can learn to guard against the hardening that comes with the deceitfulness of sin. Friends, sin slyly insinuates itself by slow degrees and prevails. Therefore, we must definitely be on guard, because many times it's not something that just comes as a whirlwind, but little by little, the deceptiveness of sin can work on us. Friend, we are destined daily to fight the good fight of faith against the wiles of the devil, and continually to seek the Lord Jesus Christ for his help. Be sure we walk in the light, listen to the voice of God, obey the voice of God, so we won't be involved with the deceitfulness of sin. Let us beware lest we should be mistaken. Be not deceived is a divine caution. It's a caution to me. It's a caution to you. And as we said already in this revival, a warning against an impossibility would be ridiculous and an insult to God's intelligence. I'm here to tell you that Satan is a great deceiver. And sin is deceitful because it appears fair, but it's filthy. It appears to be pleasant, but it's pernicious. It promises much, but performs nothing. Sin tricks people into wanting that which we know will destroy us. And friend, there are very few things, if anything, that's more deceitful than the deceitfulness of sin. If I could say anything tonight that would be helpful in this message, it's this: sin always deceives. And there's many ways in which sin deceives. First, it deceives us by promising what it can never deliver. Young people, the devil, sin will promise you a lot of things that it will never deliver. Certainly, the devil had to promise the prodigal son a lot of things to get him to leave father's house, a place where he had it made, and go into the far country. But I'm telling you, when he got to the far country, yes, he found some pleasure in sin. And I don't doubt the fact that he sowed some wild oats and had a good time as far as the world is concerned. But I can promise you that sin did not produce what it promised, because it didn't take too long. He came to himself and realized, the devil's deceived me. Sin has deceived me. Yes, sin says, go ahead, do it. You'll have fun. Go ahead and enjoy it. Sin says, you'll feel better. You'll be more fulfilled if you just go ahead and do what the devil's tempting you to do. The devil tries to convince us that life will be better if we just give in, if we just do this little thing or that little thing. Go ahead and take it. Go ahead and tell that lie. Go ahead and tell that little dirty joke. Go ahead, my friend, and jump in bed with someone else's wife or husband. Go ahead and read the book. Go ahead and look at the magazine. Go ahead and click the button on the computer. Go ahead. The devil says, you need this. If you'll just do it, it'll bring you happiness. My friend, what was it that the serpent said to Eve? Eat of the fruit of this tree, and you'll be like God. Amen. Sin deceives us by promising us things that it cannot deliver. Friend, I've lived long enough to say that this Bible, this Word of God, and experience teaches us that sin will destroy you if you don't acknowledge it, if you don't confess it, and if you don't forsake it. Let us say, friend, that we know that 10 times out of 10, that people who do a certain thing is going to get caught. We know that. 10 times out of 10. But yet the devil, amen, he deceives us and tries to make us believe that we're going to be different. Most people get caught, but somehow we're not going to get caught. The devil said, wait a minute. You're kidding yourself. You're going to be different. You're going to be different than the 10 out of 10. Somehow, you're going to get by with this. Just like he said to Eve, you shall not surely die. God said you will. The devil said you won't. And then sin deceives us by creating in us a desire for that which can only hurt us. Friend, there's a reason why God said don't do certain things, and it's for our own benefit. But there's a little voice that will say to you and will say to me, go ahead. And many times people stupidly go ahead, even though they know they're going to suffer for it. And when Eve looked at that fruit of that tree, she saw it was good to look at. She saw it was good to touch. And she saw it was good to taste. So she went ahead and ate of the fruit of the tree. Friend, we're no different. if we're not careful. Though we know every time we take and eat of the fruit of the devil, that it's going to bring consequences. One of the greatest curses that can happen to man is for him to do wrong with impunity. He will do it again. He'll do it again. And he'll do it again because he thinks he's getting by. And so when you stop looking to Christ, you know what happens? Unbelief sets in. Amen. And then, my friend, you become susceptible to the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, what sin promises. Sin promises joy, but it brings pain. Sin promises success, but it ultimately brings failure. And so understand the deceitfulness of sin. Compare its promises to its payments. Amen. Just look around at other people. Look at people that you know who've left the church. Look at some people in your own family. Compare its promises with its payments. And one of the deceitful things about sin is it promises freedom. It promises liberty. But what does it give you? It gives you slavery. It brings you into bondage. Sin brings an individual into bondage. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You become bound by sin. The cords of sin get stronger the more that we sin. Yet sin deceives us into thinking that we're free and we can quit doing whatever we're doing whenever we please. Someone said not long ago, "I'm not an alcoholic, but me and my wife like to drink a glass of wine every night." But we're not alcoholics. But they've been doing it for years and years. You see, sin has deceived them. Amen. They don't know if they can quit it because they're not trying to quit. And so as the invisible chains of the habit are forged, we discover to our horror that we don't have the strength to break off the things that we thought we were free from. And millions of people in our world today are in some kind of bondage to one sin or another. Yes, my friend, and there's just one person. Amen. There's just one thing that can set an individual free, and it's Jesus Christ. He can set you free because the Son can set you free according to the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, "If the Son, therefore, if the Son make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Friend, even the bondage that sin creates is deceitful for the people who are bound. And they many times actually think that they're free, but too late they discover that they're prisoners to their very own habits. And friend, we've got a lot of examples in the Word of God, and by the help of God, we're going to get to a few of them. But when I think about this, my friend, my mind goes back to the very beginning of time when Eve was there in the garden. Friend, you can see the deceptiveness of sin from the very beginning of time. Sin has the power to deceive. Friend, we just got to look back here and look at Eve. Friend, Eve was correct when she said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Indeed, he was the one that was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God made. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He was looking back at that time and what the devil did to Eve and how the devil brought this deception upon Eve. And he was talking to the church in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And he referred back to that. And he said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as that serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." Friend, that's the deceitfulness of sin. That's what the devil wants to do in my life. Get our minds corrupted from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. Eve in the garden, before this took place, she was pure. She was intelligent. She was filled with good dispositions. Her faculties were balanced. She didn't have no depraved nature. She didn't have no original sin. Yet that lovely woman, without a taint on her will or her heart, she was perfect, coming from the master's hand, but she was overcome by the devil. That teaches me of the deceitfulness of sin. And that serpent played his part right in that cunning with the woman, and soon withdrew her from that loyal obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, friend, she began to question. She began to argue. She began to come up with rebellious suggestions. And after a while, after the devil kept talking and she kept listening to the devil, it wasn't too long that she reached out her hand and got the fruit and partook of it. If a man in his perfectness, just like Eve and Adam, it can be deceived like that, I can be deceived. And you can be deceived. Amen. Sin is of a very deceitful nature. Friend, it'll kiss the soul, look enticing to the soul, yet it'll betray the soul forever. Friend, don't ever get to thinking that sin is a friend of yours. No, sin's not a friend of yours. Sin's the greatest enemy that you have. I think about Delilah in the Bible. Like Delilah, sin will smile upon us, betray us into the hands of the devil, just like she betrayed Samson into the hand of the Philistines. Friend, you tell the bewitched soul that sin is a viper that will certainly kill, and sin often kills secretly, insensibly, eternally, and bewitched souls cannot and will not cease from sin. A man that's bewitched with sin had rather lose God, lose Christ, lose heaven and his own soul than to part with his sin. Amen. Amen. That's seen many times in altar calls where God is dealing with individuals. Amen. God's offering them a salvation. He wants to set them free. He wants to break the bondage. But many times people will sit there and hold on to the very thing that's gonna cost them their soul. Solomon writes about a truth he experienced when he married foreign wives. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, the 5th chapter and verse number 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Think about David's ethical outrage and his response to Nathan's parable, while at the same time he was hiding his own sin, illustrates to you and I how deceitful sin really is. He was guilty as guilty could be. And Nathan gave the little parable. And what was it that David said? Well, the man that did this, he ought to be killed. And you know what the man of God said? You are the one, David. Amen. He was deceived through the deceitfulness of sin. And again, the prodigal son, he wanted to be free. He wanted to get away from his bigger brother. He wanted to get away from his father into a far country. He thought that would set him free, but he discovered that his freedom turned into bondage. Not only did he become a slave to the Gentiles' taskmaster, but became a servant of the pigs. Friend, it's impossible to live in sin. It's impossible to get involved with sin without getting bound up by sin. Jesus, in the Word of God, offers us liberty, but the devil brings bondage. Judas pleased himself with 30 pieces of silver, but my friend, it proved to be deceitful riches. Ask him now, if you could talk to Judas tonight, would he tell you it was a bargain? No, friend, it was not a bargain at all. Friend, sin is the ultimate master of deceit. Sin is a monster. Sin looks at us and says, there's somebody, I'm gonna go after them. So sin fools us into thinking, my friend, that it will get out of us and it will just give in The devil makes us think that we can get out of our current problems, that we don't have to be obedient to God, and sin always works that way. It fools us into thinking if we'll just do what he's leading us to do, then we'll be happy and we'll be set free from bondage, but it brings us into bondage. And you know, Satan comes along and says to the sister, you'll never get a companion if you wait on God. And here's a nice unbeliever, go after him. But then the bills of sin come due. You're single and lonely. Or you're having a problem in your marriage. Your wife constantly nags at you. Or your husband constantly stays on your case. He doesn't meet your needs. She doesn't meet your needs. And along comes a beautiful lady. Along comes some handsome man. Some lady that understands your problem. Some man that understands your problem. And they offer themselves to you. Satan will tell you, this is what I need. But he's a liar. Amen. Sin, including unbelief, always deceives an individual. Friend, if sin comes to us as sin, we're swift to hate it, repel it, but it doesn't come to us that way. Friend, when we're walking with God, we only need to know that this action is forbidden in the Word of God. Amen. If we're where we ought to be, we won't want nothing to do with it. Amen. We'll shun evil. Yes, we'll turn away from it. But sin puts on another dress. It comes to us speaking in a language that's not its own. So even those who would avoid sin may by degrees be tempted to evil because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin's put different clothes on. Don't look as bad because it got dressed up. Sin does not uncover all of its hideousness, nor reveal the horrible consequences. It's very subtle. The devil wants to take advantage of you. Take advantage of me. It's like the bait and switch. My dad used to have a meat market slaughterhouse in Springport, Indiana. He had one in Markerville, Indiana, and had one in Winchester, Indiana. But the one he had in Springport, Indiana, the inspectors came down on us so strong, he ended up closing it, and he rented it out to some other folks, and that's what they did. They don't call themselves that, but it's a bait and switch company. And what they do, they run an ad in the paper, and they got freezer beef real cheap. And so you go there to look at the beef. He said, let us come in the cooler. We'll show you the beef you can buy. So they got one old cow in there, skinned out, hanging up, and you couldn't eat a steak out of it if your life depended on it. But that's the one they priced in the paper. But they got high pressure salesmen, but said, look over here at this one. And it's a nice beef with a lot of good white fat on it. So they trick you. They bait you and they switch. You don't get the meat that you intended to get. Because they'll tell you, you wouldn't want this thing. It'd be hard to eat. But while you're there, they talk you in to getting the other one. That's the way the devil does. He offers you one thing, but he switches. He doesn't give you that. He don't have it to give. Friend, we're not tempted to provoke our maker or willfully cast off the authority of righteousness. We're not invited to do these things for our own sake. No. But my friend, we're moved to do evil under the ideal that the devil has deceived us and make us think that something good's going to come out of this. Amen. Next, we're deceived by the clothes the devil wears. is very apt even change his title. Seldom cares for its own true description. For in other words, often is used to cover the foul deeds, has another name, but that doesn't alter things. People's come up with all kinds of names outside of what the Bible calls it. People don't talk about sodomy. They got a nicer name for it, along with all the other sins. You can call Satan an angel of light, but he's still the devil. You can call garlic perfume, but it remains a rank odor. Sin, call it by any name you want to, it's still evil. The wages of sin is still death. Sin also shows its special deceitfulness in the argument that it uses. This deceivableness is further seen in the excuses that it frames afterward. To screen the conscience from regret is one of the efforts of the deceitfulness of sin. The man says to himself, I did wrong. But he eschews himself. But what can you expect out of poor flesh and blood? Sin also will add. People will think in their minds, they're so deceived. After all, though I did wrong, I didn't do as much wrong as a lot of people. Considering the temptation, it's a wonder that I didn't do worse. So I'm not that bad. Self-righteousness is poor stuff when it can be fashioned even out of our faults, even out of our sins. Such is the deceitfulness of sin. Now, if there was no pleasure in sin, it wouldn't be such a problem. We preached already in Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. Sin keeps us from knowing its true nature. Nothing can deceive us unless it bears a plausible resemblance to the reality. The most deadly sins do not leap upon us. They creep upon us. That's why it's deceitful. Sin is never less quiet than when it seems to be most quiet. How does Satan speak to me? How does Satan speak to you? The devil, here's one of his tricks. Here's the deceitfulness of sin. You know what the devil says? This is not going to affect no one but you. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. The devil will say, what harm is there in it? Friend, there's nothing but harm if God said not to do it. There's going to be harm. Sin has often whispered in vain minds of men, this action might be wrong for other people, but it's not wrong for you. That's what the devil says. Sin will also flatter a man with the notion, I'm just going to go so far. Had a man tell me one time that got out of the will of God and backslid, quit coming to church. He said, well, I know I've lost out with God, but I'm not going to do what I used to do. Well, he did. And most time they go further than they've ever went before. We're warned about being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Friend, he's just not taking up space in the Bible. It's a real possibility. And once an individual refuses to believe what God says, not only does he lose his walk and fellowship with God, but the hardening of the heart begins to take place. When you come to church and God shows you a need, when the Holy Spirit deals with you about a need in your life, if you don't do something about it, it's going to become easier to say no the next time. If you procrastinate tonight, it'll be easier to procrastinate tomorrow night. It'll be easier to procrastinate a week from now. and get to the place that we can be so deceived that we continue on a course departing from the living God. And you know the sad thing about it? We go on and do this, and it's so deceitful, we still think we're saved. We still think we're okay. And we've drifted so far from where we once was. But somehow, the deceptiveness of sin, we still think we're saved. Deceit induces a person to believe that what is false is true, and what is true is false. And it holds out as a benefit what actually proves to be an injury. The effects of sin. Sin is a mere cheat. What pretends to please us, it beguiles us. It courts us, then it kills us. It starts out as a fox, and it turns into a lion. Sin will wind itself into our understanding to darken our understanding, into our judgment to pervert our judgment, into our wills to poison our wills, into our affections to disorder our affections, into our conscience to corrupt our conscience, into our lives to debase our lives. That's what sin does. All these devices of sin are fair baits whereby dangerous hooks are covered over to entice silly fish to snap at them so they're taken and made a prey of the fisher. How insidious sin really is. Sin, my friend, is like a viper. It goes in disguise. Like Judas, it kisses and then it kills. Like Joab, it salutes and then it slays. Sin presents itself, I said already, in another dress. It deceitfully offers fair advantages. Insensibly, it bewitches our minds. It accommodates itself to each individual in a particular temperament and circumstances. It clothes its hideousness by assuming an attractive garb. It eludes us into a false estimate of ourselves. Tonight, do you have a pet sin? Do you have a pet sin that's keeping you from getting saved? Are you being deceived by sin and tolerating it? Like a pet, like that boa constrictor. If you are, you need to remember the fate of the man that had a boa constrictor. 15 years he lived with this snake. He was the owner, but after 15 years, it got him in its grip. It caused the owner's tragic death. Wild animals remain wild. Sin remains sin. Don't be deceived. Now listen real closely what I've got to say. Someone said, well, I haven't got that far off the path. I haven't erred that much. They tell me in St. Louis, there's a railroad switch yard. One particular switch begins with just the thinnest piece of steel to direct a train away from the main track to another. It's just a small deviation, but think about it. If you would follow these two tracks, you'd find that one of them ends in San Francisco and the other in New York. It's just a small deviation. Sin is like that. Sin, just a small deviation from God's word. A small deviation from God's standard can take place. And you know what it does? It places us far from our intended destination. Don't be deceived by the world. Don't be deceived by the flesh. Don't be deceived by the devil. When he says it's no big deal, That's what the devil wants you to believe. What I'm doing is no big deal. It's not that big of a deal, Brother Larry. It can't be that wrong. He's a liar. I read about the contractor. Not long after a wealthy contractor finished building the Tombs Prison in New York, he was found guilty of forgery and sentenced to several years in the prison he built himself. And as he was escorted to the cell of his own making, the contractor said, "I never dreamed when I built this prison that I would be an inmate in this prison someday." You know what people are doing today? By living in sin, they're building their own prison. You're building your own prison. Sin appears to be fair, but it's filthy. It appears to be pleasant, but my friend, it's pernicious. Take spiritual inventory tonight. How is it in your life? Because we're continually vulnerable, susceptible, being deceived. If we're not careful, we'll let go of our grasp of the truth. Speaking this truth does not make it true, but it does remind us that it is true. So this truth becomes a shield. The deceitfulness of sin. Just give me a few more moments here, and I want you to think about something as we come to a close. It was the deceitfulness of sin that caused Balaam to compromise. It was the deceitfulness of sin that caused David to commit adultery and murder. It was the deceitfulness of sin that caused Peter to deny the Lord. It was the deceitfulness of sin that caused Judas to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It was the deceitfulness of sin that caused Demas to forsake Paul for the love of this present world. And it was the deceitfulness of sin that caused the church at Laodicea to think they was okay when they was all wrong. It was the deceitfulness of sin that caused the church at Ephesus to lose their first love. And when the Bible said in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devil. In thy name we've done many mighty works. And I'll profess unto them, I never knew them." What would make a people think there's okay when they wasn't? The deceitfulness of sin. That's why so many people leave this world thinking they're okay when they're not okay, because of the deceitfulness of sin. What would cause a man to build his house upon the sand when he knew there's going to be storms coming? He knew that the rain was going to come. He knew that the wind was going to blow, but he built a fine house on the sand. What would cause a person to do such a thing? The deceitfulness of sin. You know what? Probably everybody in hell is there because of the deceitfulness of sin. You know what I believe? I believe if any of us ever end up in hell, that'll be why. The deceitfulness of sin.